God bless you, church. Good morning. I'm happy for the gift of life that we have to gather around the word of the living God every Sunday morning. Once more, I'm going to bring you this little short sermon from my home due to the prevalence of the coronavirus and how we must stay home. God richly bless you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, our Jesus, our Master, the Captain of our salvation, we thank you so very dearly for your kindness and mercies, your grace that has kept us. Here we are again, Lord, gathered around your word. May you come bless us, do the speaking, do the hearing. At the end of it all, may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. Anoint the lips that speaks, Lord, circumcise my lips. And may I not say anything that will not bring glory to your name. I thank you for being with us again. In Jesus' precious name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to bring you a little sermon entitled The Perfection of Three. The Perfection of Three. Amen. As we already know, and as we have learned from God's prophet, God perfects himself in threes every time. Amen. And the way he even made us, he made us thus, three in one. Amen. I'll quickly read you a scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I read. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll read that again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, right from the scriptures, we know that we are not just a body. Man is not just a body. Man is a body, it's a spirit, and it's a soul. The most important of which is the soul, of course. Amen. And so, that's what we are. That's how God made us. But it's a wonderful thing to know that our Lord Jesus Christ was made in like manner. Also with a body, a spirit, and a soul. And I'll quickly read you three scriptures that point to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was also made same. A body, spirit, and soul. And what happened to the body, to the spirit, and to the soul when he died on Calvary's tree? Amen. And so the first scripture, the second scripture I'll read will be Matthew 27. Matthew 27, I'll read from verse 57 to 60. Sorry. Matthew 27. From verse 57 to 60. It's about the atonement of Christ. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. There is a well-known scripture, what happened to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as Joseph Arimathea had to put that body, that holy body, in the tomb that had never been used before. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just a man. That was God in a human form. So we read from the scriptures, even as he was born of Mary, he was the first to open the womb. Amen. After which, James, John, and the rest of them, of his half-brothers, came. And so, he came through a womb that he first opened. And when he died, his body had to be laid in a tomb that no one had been laid in. That is easy to see when the Lord had died and they laid his body in the tomb. And so, it's just straightforward like that. But before his body was laid in the tomb, something had happened. And that had nothing to do with the body, but rather with his spirit. Amen. That's why I'm going to read you Luke 23. So bearing in mind that Jesus Christ is also made of same body, spirit, and soul. Luke 23, verse 46. And I read, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into thy hand I commend my spirit." Before the body was laid in the tomb, before he died, he committed his spirit to the Father. You remember the Lord said, "I go to sit at the right hand of the Father." Amen. He had to commend that spirit to the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father. He wasn't going to sit at the right hand of the Father to forgive sins. Now, I've heard many people preach like that. He went to sit at the right hand of the Father to forgive our sins. No. Amen. He went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Amen. To intercede on behalf of those that are ignorant of the scriptures through seven church ages. Because he finished the work of forgiving sins on Calvary's tree. Amen. On Calvary's tree, he pronounced, "It is finished." And truly it was finished. Our redemption was bought. Our salvation was secured. Our sicknesses were healed. The devil was rebuked and bound. The captive was set free. Hallelujah. On Calvary all was done. Oh, Calvary, what it means to me. Since Jesus set me free, I think of Calvary as we sing that song all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. So there was power in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How God had to taste death for his children to taste life. God had to take our place for us to take his place. We were supposed to die, but he took that place. He suffered the consequence. He bore the shame. He carried our sins far away from us. He broke the power of unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, on Calvary's tree, his spirit had to be committed to the Father. And so the question is, now we know where his body went. In that tomb that had not been used before. And by this scripture, in Luke 23:46, we also know where his spirit went. What about the soul aspect? Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I read you about a soul, a body, and a spirit. Okay, so let's see where the soul went. And that I'll read you 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 18 to 20. I read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Oh, I like that. Amen. So, people ask questions. Said, "Oh, but was it God that died? But God is a spirit. But God cannot taste death." That's right. God cannot die as a spirit, because spirits don't die. But for God to taste death, to fulfill the law of redemption, he had to put on a body. And the body God put on was our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He wasn't the second person of the Trinity. He was the person himself. God made flesh, dwelling among us. That is why the concept of the Trinity, where we say God in three persons, is anti-scriptures. God is not in three persons. God is one personality making himself manifest in three different ways. Amen. Hear me, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, not three. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear me, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That one God makes himself known in the fatherhood, makes himself known in the sonship, makes himself known in the Holy Spirit dispensation. Not three persons. That would be paganism. Amen. So thank God for this end time truth that we have. God in three manifestations. Amen. God being manifest as the Father and being manifest in the Son. Don't forget the Son was the fullness of the Godhead. The Bible said so. Amen. Hallelujah. That Christ Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead. As we also read in 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. God being manifest in the flesh. The fullness of God in the sonship. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, getting back to 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Oh, that's beautiful. He suffered for sins. The just, he was the just one. He died for the unjust, like me and like you. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. He wasn't dead in the spirit. That's what the Bible emphasizes. Being put to death in the flesh. It was the flesh that died. The body called Christ Jesus that died. Amen. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison. Now watch something. When I read you Matthew 27, from verse 57 to 60, he said, the body of the Lord was put in the tomb. The body of the Lord. It doesn't say the Lord was put in the tomb. Because it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ that was put in the tomb. It was the body he wore. The clay suit he wore. Hallelujah. For the word was made flesh. You remember what the Bible says? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That flesh is what we call the Lord Jesus Christ. That flesh is what died and put in the tomb. And then again, Luke 23:46. His spirit was commended to the Father. His spirit. He didn't say, and he himself was committed unto the right hand of the Father. But his spirit, I go and sit at the right hand of the Father, was in the form of a spirit. As Luke explains, I commend my spirit. Amen. But when you read 1 Peter 3:18, it does not say his body. It does not say his spirit. It says he. He. That's the soul. He. So your true self is the soul. Amen. Okay. So for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19. By which also he, this time not just the body or the spirit, but he himself. Verse 19. by which also he went and preached unto the spirit in prison. Did you hear well? Yes, you heard well. After the Lord died on Calvary's tree and they had put his body in the tomb, the Bible said he went to preach. He went to preach to souls in prison. He went to preach to spirit in prison. Verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Oh, that is beautiful. Hallelujah. So our Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, and the body was put in the tomb, and had earlier on committed his spirit unto the Father, when people had gathered and they had seen the body just lying down, he wasn't there. He had slipped into prison. What prison was that? The region of the lost. This is what God's prophet calls the region of the lost. That prison is the region of the lost. That is where those that died in the time of Noah and perished in unbelief were kept. Hallelujah. Those that turned down the gospel, those that died, those that rejected truth, that's where they go. When a sinner dies, he goes to the region of the lost, for a place the Bible calls prison. The Lord Jesus Christ went to preach to souls in prison. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's prophet said that was his third pool. Don't forget my title, The Perfection of Three. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, before he even died, we know that his ministry was divided into three. Amen. As God's servants, as God's prophets around the world, from time immemorial, have had three divisions into their ministries. God's prophet said, all men of God, God's prophet, they've all had their three pools. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had his first pool, the first phase of his ministry, and when he was preaching, when he was doing signs, wonders and miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, rebuking devils, giving food to the poor, hallelujah, turning water into wine. Oh, what a great leader he was then. And how they loved him, because the gospel he had just begun. And the people loved what they saw. A wonderful man. The man that gives us food when we are hungry. The man that turns water into wine. The man that heals our sicknesses. Why don't we make him our king? You remember somewhere in the Bible said they went to make him a king and he disappeared from among them. Amen. Because his kingdom was not of this earth. Amen. Okay, that was the first pool of his ministry. And then he got to his second pool when he picked the word itself and rebuilt them churches. And laid down the word. Because he himself was the word made flesh. And so he took the word and rebuked them. Rebuked those religious bodies that were not ready to change, just as we have today. People remain what they are despite truth being revealed. Hallelujah. Everyone will hold on to what he has already despite God throwing his light on his word. So the Lord preached. And these signs, wonders, and miracles, they never repented. The Pharisees remained Pharisees. The Sadducees remained Sadducees. The Sanhedrins remained Sanhedrins. And all those religious organizations remain what they are. They held on to their half-truths. They held on to the law, though the word had been made flesh. Has history repeated itself? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, his third pool was preaching to souls in prison. When the Lord died, that was not the end of his ministry. As we read from 1 Peter, that wasn't the end of his ministry. When he died, he had to continue the ministry. And that ministry was identified by God's prophet as his third pool. The final phase of that ministry was preaching to souls in prison. People that cannot repent. Don't forget, the Bible says, after death, judgment. So those that had died could never repent, no matter what. When people die and a priest is called upon, a priest, a high priest, a father, whoever, is called upon to pray over the dead body to change the destination, is the biggest lie that the world can ever take. No preacher man, no priest, no father, no pope, no archbishop, no apostle general, no prophet can change the destination of a man after he is dead. So if that is so, why was the Lord preaching to the souls that were already in prison? Those that were waiting to face judgment, when they died, they didn't go to the white throne judgment to be judged. They have to be laid to wait. Amen. Wait. The waiting place is where he went. And the Bible calls it prison because it's truly a prison. The region of the lost. Our Lord went there and preached. What was the essence of his preaching? Why was he preaching? If the people cannot repent after death, why was he preaching to them? God's prophet said that was for a sign of the third pool. What is the sign of the third pool? It's a time where the people cannot receive truth anymore, even though preaching goes on. Hallelujah. And Noah also had his third pool in the ark. When the door was shut, it was too late. Judgment had not come. The rains had not fallen. And yet the door had been shut. I hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. And so the son of the third pool, preaching to souls in prison, was what the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited after he died. After he, the soul, the real person, went to preach for a son of the third pool. And thank God we saw the son of the third pool in our time, in the ministry of a humble prophet. Hallelujah. And all the signs and the wonders and the miracles that follow that. Because the third pool has 8 manifestations. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Lord did that for a sign of the third pool. That time will come. The preaching will still continue. Churches will still make altar calls. And they wouldn't know time is over. Hallelujah. Because as I told you, when the door of Noah's ark was shut, the rain didn't come down for 7 clear days. A sign of the third pool. Preaching to them that cannot repent. This is the time we find ourselves in. I remember in the days gone by, I'm not too old though, as you know, but I've witnessed how people have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of the gospel 10, 20, 30 years ago. When people hear the gospel, quickly they repent. When altar calls are made, they put all shame aside and walk to the altar and repented. Today is no more so. People want to argue the Bible instead of repenting. And don't forget, when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching of repentance, or was preaching repentance, he wasn't just preaching to prostitutes and murderers and fornicators and all that. He was preaching repentance to high priests. He preached repentance to the churches. Because the high priest needed repentance as much as the prostitute needed repentance. For it's a sin against any man to turn down truth after it's been revealed to him, or after it's been revealed to him. All the signs that was done, and all the sermons that was preached, and all the light that was shown, and all the word that was revealed in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ was still turned down. The people love their churches. The Pharisees love their doctrine. The Sadducees love their doctrine. In the face of truth, they turned down the Lord Jesus Christ and still went to their synagogues. And as I always demonstrate, the Lord Jesus Christ was the fullness of the word made flesh right there. A man of simplicity, standing there with death on his feet. He didn't look like a noble man. He looked like a man you could easily dispense of. And a man of small stature. Isaiah said there was no glory on him you may even desire. Amen. He wasn't wearing any t-shirt with the inscription, "I'm the Lord Jesus Christ," or "I'm the Messiah." So how could anyone identify him to be the Messiah? By the word he manifests. By the scriptures he fulfilled. Hallelujah. That is how the apostles and the disciples identified him as the Messiah. And that is how we identify God's word today. That's how we identify Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, Luke 17:30, and all those scriptures that have been fulfilled for this day. Amen. Oh, he went to preach to souls in prison that could not repent. The perfection of three: a body, a spirit, and a soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. As I told you, I'll not make this long at all. And as I close on this, let me read you a scripture that is so popular and yet heavily misunderstood. And so quickly, I'll read you Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Let me read that again. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." I know many people baptize by sprinkling, that is of course out of the scriptures. And even though that baptized by immersion, which is true baptism, baptizo means being immersed. Baptism from the word baptizo, being immersed. There are many who immerse and still do it wrongly. Because they baptized three times, one for a father, one for a son, and one for the Holy Spirit. But there's nowhere in the Bible you find that. What I just read to you was baptism in a name. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." It does not repeat the name and says the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. That would be three separate gods. But it says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and the name is not pluralized. In your Bible, the name there is a singular noun. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Son, and the Father have been given one name. Because as we have already known, Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. They are titles. But it's a name to those titles. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we saw throughout the Bible, there wasn't one single person that repented and was baptized in three different names. One for a Father, one for a Son, one for the Holy Ghost. They all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The perfection of three is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read, as you go home, as you stay, as you're already at home, you can read further. Acts 2:38. Acts 19:1-5. Acts 10:46-48. Acts 8:14-16. Romans 6:3-4. On and on and on. There are many scriptures like that. How they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as Colossians admonishes us, that everything we should do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So church, we know these things already, but I just want to bring them back. Like Paul said, though ye know these things, I bring them back to your memory. The time has come as we prepare ourselves for a body change. Hallelujah. As flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, we pray for a body change. And thank God we have a message that can cause that body change. The fullness of the word. Stay under the Holy Spirit. Commit your spirit to him, your body to him, your soul to him, that he will make you perfect in all things, that we may be perfect in body, spirit, and soul, and remain blameless at the coming of the Lord. We can only remain blameless when we have received the pure word of the living God. Amen. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Not the way, the error, and the life. The truth of the word is he. Hallelujah. And as we receive God's truth in fullness, we receive him. God bless you. Stay blessed. And love the Lord more than ever you've ever done. As it's coming, get closer and closer. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little truth we have just shared. No one breathes the bread of life but you. For your prophet said, everyone with life in him can flip through the pages of the Bible by taking the great Holy Spirit to bring down the context, the meaning to us. We thank you that our understanding has been refreshed. Lord, of who we are, Lord, a body, spirit, and soul, but our true being the soul. We are just wearing this suit, clay suit. One day it shall be dropped. As the Lord Jesus Christ dropped his body in the tomb. Hallelujah. May we with fervency and with truthfulness in our heart and all sincerity be married to the word as we stay under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that blood is the word of the Lord be made manifest. We thank you so very much, Lord, that when you died, your spirit came back on the worshiper. Bless your church, Mount Sunset Country Church, and all those that will hear this little gospel. Bless them until their souls are converted to receive the fullness of the word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.